You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate. Details of just what hackers got and did not get on more than 80 million JPMorgan Chase customers. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. One of the biggest of banks has more information now on a colossal cyber attack from the summer. The bank says accounts were not cracked, but well over half the households in America had personal information taken. If you do the math, Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
76 million households and 7 million small businesses have had their information hacked from J.P. Morgan. Names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses.
But there's no evidence that any information like account numbers, passwords, user IDs, or social security numbers are compromised in this breach.
Tal Klein is with cloud security company Adalom. In the data breaches at Target or Home Depot, hackers got actual credit card numbers. At J.P. Morgan, the stolen information was much less sensitive.
It's just important to put this breach in perspective.
But even limited information can be used in scams and fraud. Aviva Leighton, security analyst at Gartner, says J.P. Morgan's vulnerability was a surprise.
They spend a lot on security, so you can't fault them for not being security conscious. What this teaches us is that the old tactics of defense just don't work anymore.
Analysts say most cyber attacks in recent years have been launched out of Eastern Europe. The FBI and Secret Service have been investigating the attacks amid reports they were politically motivated. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Today, government statisticians answer the question, was August's weak employment report a fluke or a worrisome trend? What happened with jobs in September? Forecasters and job seekers will be especially disappointed if job creation doesn't start with a 2, as in something in the 200,000s. To give us a sense of the educated guessing, here's Gus Fauché, senior economist at PNC Financial Services Group.
It'll be a good report, not a fantastic report, but better than what we had in August. We might have a little bit of a drag from the casino shutdowns in New Jersey, so that will be something of a drag on job growth. But overall, we're expecting to bounce back from that softer August number, and we're expecting good job growth of 200,000 per month through the rest of this year.
In just over an hour and a half, the government will share results of its two surveys, employment derived from counting payrolls and unemployment taken from sampling households to ask who's working and who's not. Now time for the Marketplace Inflation Calculator. As Marketplace celebrates its 25th birthday this year, we're looking at the surprising, sometimes delightful, and sometimes destructive ways that prices have changed during that quarter century, such as in the Sears catalog from 1989, one of the first cellular phones for $900, shipping weight 15 pounds, like an obese Tomcat. But what about your whole phone bill over 25 years? We'll have that later in the series. Today, it's the time policymakers tinkered with the government's official measure of retail inflation, the Consumer Price Index. That's calculated by monitoring the changing prices of a predetermined basket of goods. Money manager and Bloomberg and Washington Post columnist Barry Ritholtz remembers what was called the Boskin Commission. Barry, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
There was this commission in the 90s, the Boskin Commission. It proposed to tinker with the Consumer Price Index. What was the point?
Well, there's two ways to confront an issue. One is head-on, and the issue they were confronting was the rising cost of COLA for Social Security, cost of living adjustments. And rather than step on the third political rail and say, hey, this is going to get really expensive, we either need to raise taxes or cut benefits or some combination, they decided to take plan B, which is let's kind of backdoor this by tweaking the inflation models.
So what might look like inflation and people might be due a cost of living increase might not be really inflation if we reinterpret it.
One of the things the Boskin Commission did, tweaks that I'm egregiously offended by, is substitution.
Substitution of the basket of items that the government is going to monitor to figure out inflation. Let's take account of the fact that when something gets a little more expensive, maybe people buy something else.
Well, that's correct. And the classic example is, hey, the price of beef is rising. And how do people behave in the real world? Well, if they're on a budget, maybe they substitute chicken. And so the concept of substitution essentially said they're still spending the same X dollars on this many ounces of protein. They're just substituting one good for another. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is the price of steak has gone up. I've been priced out of beef. Now I'm going to chicken. And as soon as the price of chicken goes up, I'm going to go to entrails and byproducts. And that's the absurdity of substitution. It's not that your behavior is changing for no reason. Inflation is changing your behavior.
So just in case somebody thought the consumer price index was some sort of law of physics, they were measuring something in the natural world, some of these changes certainly underscore the fact that it's a human construct.
There was a famous professor of statistics named George Box. He very infamously said, all models are wrong, but some are useful. And what he means by that is the inflation measuring model or the unemployment measuring model or any of those things, they're not going to give you an accurate response. But there's some usefulness in it because when they're going up in general or when they're going down in general, that's telling you something.
Barry Ritholtz, founder and chief investment officer of Ritholtz Wealth Management and famous columnist. Barry, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Search Marketplace Inflation Calculator or go to marketplace.org for more of this stuff. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.